Okay, good morning. This Tuesday, of course, is Asara B'Tevet, the fast of the 10th of Tevet, which, as you all know, commemorates the siege of Yerushalayim in 588 BCE by Melech Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. And that siege ultimately leads to the destruction of Yerushalayim, the Churban Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the first temple, and the Babylonian exile. But following the founding of the State of Israel, the fast of the 10th of Tevet was imbued with new meaning and a new identity. And it was established by the chief rabbinate as Yom HaKadish HaKlali, literally the day of general Kaddish, a day of Kaddish to be recited for those who died al Kiddush Hashem in the Shoah, those martyrs who were murdered in the Holocaust, and whose precise date of death is unknown. In other words, there's not a specific yuret site for them. We don't know exactly when they perished, so we say Kaddish on Asara B'Tevet in their memory for their neshamot, as well as those Kedoshim who have no one left to say Kaddish for them. Entire families, entire villages, shtetlach, towns were wiped out. So there are many, many Kedoshim that have no one to say Kaddish for them. So the chief rabbinate, the Rabbanut HaRashid here in Medinat Yisrael, established Asara B'Tevet as a day of Kaddish for those Kedoshim. But the choice of the 10th of Tevet as a memorial day seems very curious at first glance, and was indeed the subject of much controversy and much discussion and debate, as we will explore together this morning. By 1942, the gravity of the tragedy taking place in Europe began to reach the shores of pre-state Palestine. And in response, the chief rabbi, we spoke about him last week, Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, he began to establish days of mourning and fasting and prayer for what was going on in real time. In fact, a number of years ago, on Yom Yerushalayim, we had a presentation in my shul, and this woman, a noted historian, I forgot exactly where she lectures, but she gave a whole presentation on what Jerusalem was like in those years during the Jordanian occupation, between whatever it was, 1949 and 1967, or 1948 and 1967. I think it was 49 when the armistice line was drawn. And one of the things that she showed some pictures from Har HaZeitim and from the tomb there of Zechariah and other pictures, but she showed some pictures from before the Hakamat HaMedina, before the Milchemet HaShichrur, before the Jordanian occupation of East Jerusalem. And she showed some pictures of prayer gatherings, how Rav Herzog gathered together people there, Dafket Har HaZeitim, at the bottom there, and davened for and fasted and mourned for what was going on in real time across the pond, so to speak, in Europe. And at the time, Rav Herzog enlisted the support of leading rabbis, leading poskim, leading authorities, to, again, establish days of mourning or a day of mourning. And among those who he approached was the Griz, Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, affectionately known as Rav Velvel, who himself had recently escaped Europe and settled in Yerushalayim. And Rav Velvel, as we'll see in a moment, was vehemently opposed to adding a new day of mourning and fasting to the Jewish calendar. This very question would be revisited following the Hakamat HaMedina with the question of establishing Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Memorial Day. But if you take a look here at source number one, this is a tshuva from the Tshuvot V'Hanhagot of Rav Sternbuch, Moshe Sternbuch, one of the major poskim of our day, one of the leading Boskim, one of the Gedolei Hador, my neighbor in Har Nof, Rav of the Groshul, Av Beis Din. So he was also a Talmud of the Griz of Ravelvel Soloveitchik. And here in this tshuva, in source number one, he records this fateful meeting between Ravelvel and Rav Herzog. And he writes here, Sheila im lasot yom evel al milyonei hayudim shenhergu bashoah. This already, the question later becomes, after the Holocaust, should they establish or create a day to mourn all those millions of Jews murdered in the Holocaust, a Yom HaShoah? And he writes the following, Yesh lahakdim kan uvda shehaya etzal Maran HaGriz mibrisk zatzal. He says, first, by way of introduction, I will record a Maisa Shahaya, uvda, an incident that happened with the Griz. This is what I was referring to just moments ago. Bishnat Tafshin Gimel, in 1948, Kishigiu La'aretz Shmuot, this is, Tafshin Gimel is 1942, as I mentioned, 1942, 1943. Kishigiu La'aretz Shmuot, when they started hearing about, you know, hundreds of thousands, many Jews, myriads of Jews being slaughtered and butchered in Europe, Harav Herzog Zalbat El Maran Zatzal. Rav Herzog came to the Griz, ubikesh litaken al ze yom evel, and he wanted to establish a day of mourning. Maran Zatzal hitnaged, but he says our master, the Griz, was very much against this. Amar, and he said she'asur lehosif al yemei ha'evel, and he said that it is prohibited to add to our days of mourning. V'shalotanu hanal eifo ze katuv. And so he was asked by Rav Herzog, well, where is that written? What's the proof? Amar lo hagriz zatzal hakina shanu omrim b'tisha ba'av al haruge malchut v'rmaiza v'ashpayra shenirtzachu b'mei iyar v'sivan. Mikonen sham, we'll see what he's referring to in a moment, but the Griz based his opposition on a kina, a lamentation that we recite on Tisha B'Av mourning, which laments the destruction of the communities of what we call Kilot Shum. Shum is an acronym for spire or spire, vermeis and mainz, spire worms and mainz. And it took place during the days of Iyar and Sivan. And he quotes the line there, just skip to where I've underlined, V'chi ein lehosif moed shever v'tav'era. And I put here in source number two a few lines from this kina. Okay, we'll take a look at this kina together, or a few lines from this kina together. This kina was composed by Rabbi Kolonimus ben Yehuda of Speyer. Sometimes he's referred to as the Bachur, or the younger Kolonimus, not to be confused with the Rabbi Kolonimus HaZaken. But he was a Paitan. He wrote, in addition to this famous kina, which is pretty much universally recited on Tisha B'Av morning, it appears in all of the Tisha B'Av kinos. Many of you are probably familiar with this particular kina. He was a Paitan. He wrote this kina. He wrote other slichot. He wrote Yotzrot, composed Yotzrot. A very, very important Jewish leader. And he saw with his own eyes the destruction of these communities, Kilot Shum, spire, worms, and mainz, during the first Crusades of 1096. This was a real fatal blow to German Jewry at the time. And in fact, the line before I excerpt it here in source number two, the previous line actually compares the destruction of these three communities with the destruction of the Holy Temple itself. It says it was Kisrefat Beit Elokeinu, Ha'ulam v'habira. It was like the burning of the house of God, the house of Hashem, the hall, right? The hall and its capital or its palace. And then the kina continues. If you look at source number two, v'chi ein lahosif moed shever v'tavera. And we cannot add a day, a moed, a time for shever v'tavera, for brokenness, ruin, conflagration, fire, burning. We can't add. We can't be maktim. This is a reference to the fact that Well, maybe. We'll see. That Tisha B'Av, if, for instance, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, right? Why don't we make it on Friday? Or why don't we push it up to Thursday? No, no, no. Bad things, Chazal tell us, we push off. Right? We push off. But so the way we'll see, the Griz understands this line is that, no, we can't add new days of mourning beyond Tisha B'Av. We can't add days before it nor after it. Ein lahakdim zulati la'achara. Okay. Instead, tachat ken hayom liviati aoreira. Instead, today, meaning Tisha B'Av, I'm going to arouse sorrowful wailing and crying. The espida, the elila, the efke benefesh mara, and I'm going to cry and eulogize and wail and weep with a bitter soul. And my groaning is going to be heavy from morning until evening, meaning morning until evening of Tisha B'Av. So the way the Griz understood this kina was that Rabbi Kolonimus is saying, here we had these three Jewish communities, these vibrant, strong Jewish communities decimated during the Crusades of 1096. And really, they deserve their own day of mourning to commemorate and memorialize the tragedy. But no, we're not allowed to do that. That's the way Rav Velvel, the Griz, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik understood this kina. We have no authority. We cannot add instead, when we can't add before it, can't add before it, and we can't add something after it. Instead, today is the day, on Tisha B'Av, when I'm going to raise my voice in weeping and mourning and crying and eulogizing. Today is the day, from morning until evening, that my soul is going to wail in this deep, bitter way. Okay? So that was the basis for his objection, that we already have a day of mourning on the Jewish calendar, Tisha B'Av. And that is the day when we mourn all tragedies and calamities that occurred throughout Jewish history. The Haraya here in Germany in 1096, after this awful tragedy, they did not establish their own day of mourning. Instead, no, they chose to mourn these tragedies on Tisha B'Av because that is the day. Okay, so that was the source for Rav Velvel's objection. And then just skip to where I've underlined next. Hare mifurash de'af she'savlu v'ne'ergu kilot kidoshot b'mitot achzariot. And even though it's explicit that there were communities that suffered and these entire communities were destroyed and murdered, b'mitot achzariot, with very cruel deaths, b'chol zot, nevertheless, lo tiknu yemei evel, they never established new days of mourning, ela dachu otam ad Tisha B'Av. Instead, they pushed them off until Tisha B'Av. In other words, they observed the mourning on Tisha B'Av, on our national day of mourning. Kevan she'asur la'asot yemei evel chadashim, as it is prohibited to create new days of mourning. Okay, that's how Rav Velvel understood this kina. And Rav Velvel was not alone. Here in source number 3 is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And when Rav Moshe was asked about the creation of Yom HaShoah, Rav Moshe too was against the creation of a new day of mourning because, again, we have a national day of mourning, Tisha B'Av. And take a look where I've underlined. This is a tshuva that appears in the fourth chelek of Yoredeya in the Igrot Moshe. He writes, Hinei b'kinot shekol Yisrael omrim b'tisha b'av. Here we have in the Lamentations that the entire Jewish people recite on Tisha B'Av morning, the lamentation that we just saw together. Mefurah sham, it's explicit there. Shelo tiknu yom yuchad l'tanitu l'bechia al gzerot masot atzlav. It's explicit there that they did not establish a new day of mourning and of fasting and of crying for the decrees of the Crusades, Masot Hatzlav. Sheyu gzeirot bechol medinot Europe, shegaru sham rov hayudim V'nechrevu kama ayarot ukrachim. It was awful. It said there, you know, there were decrees against all the communities in Europe, all over Europe, where the majority of Jews lived at the time, and these communities, entire communities were destroyed. And nevertheless, you don't find that they established a new day of mourning. Instead, they chose to mourn on Tisha B'Av. And this is throughout Jewish history. Mishum de'en, and take a look where I've underlined next. Mishum de'en ligboa od yom letanitu lebechti, because we do not establish new days of fasting and crying. Shelachen tzarich lahazkiram b'kino do'omrim b'tisha b'av al churban ha-migdash. Because we have to mourn them and cry and mention them, memorialize them on Tisha B'Av, along with the destruction of the Holy Temple. Me'oto tam, atzmo en ligboa yom echad miyuchad gam l'gzeirot shayu bizmanenu. And here he is addressing the contemporary question of Yom HaShoah. He says, and therefore, for the very same reason, it's not appropriate to establish a new day for the decrees in our time, meaning the Shoah. V'hu bichlal kol ha-gzeirot shayu b'meshach kol ha-galut ha-aroch hazeh. And they are included in all of the gzeirot, all of the decrees, all of the awful tragedies that took place during this galut, during this long galut. In other words, Tisha B'Av ultimately mourns the current galut as well, right? Tisha B'Av is not just about the first temple, but it's also about the second temple. You know, the current exile, if you will, the Roman exile. Okay, the current exile that we find ourselves in. That's one long galut. And so all of these tragedies are included in that galut, that long galut, and therefore are to be mourned on our national day of mourning, Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik, the nephew of the Griz, the nephew of Rav Elvel, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik of Boston, of Yeshiva University, one of the great leaders of Orthodoxy in America in the 20th century, was also against the establishment of Yom HaShoah for the very same reasons. This is recorded in Rav Schechter's Nefesh HaRav. And in a fascinating footnote to Israeli history, following this famed meeting between Rav Soloveitchik and Menachem Begin in 1977, Prime Minister Menachem Begin would seek to move Yom HaShoah to Tisha B'Av, but there was too much opposition. His words fell on deaf ears. But interesting, just a fascinating footnote, that following their fateful meeting, Menachem Begin would seek to try and move Yom HaShoah, which had already been by then established for decades and observed for decades, but he tried to move it to Tisha B'Av. He was also a brisk. Well, he was a Litvak, right? They got along well. So the Chazon Ish opposed establishing any fast day for a slightly different reason. He felt we do not have the authority to establish fast days today. You need Nevi'im. You need, you know, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, or you need Chazal, you know. Okay, we're called B'nai Nevi'im. Yisrael, if we're not prophets, we're the children of prophets, right? Yim'ein Nevi'im heim, B'nai Nevi'im heim. Nevertheless, he felt, no, you need Nevi'im to establish a formal fast day, at least a national fast day. We have much evidence. We'll return to this a little later on this morning, but there's ample evidence that there were communities that established fasts throughout Jewish history. We'll touch on that in a moment. But what's interesting is in the early days of statehood, and I mentioned Menachem Begin, in the early days of statehood, when they were trying to formulate Yom HaShoah and trying to figure out when it should be, there were all different suggestions. We've spoken in the past about Yom HaShoah here at the OU Center. But initially it was proposed that maybe we should create 2 days to commemorate the Holocaust, one to commemorate the heroism and coincide with the day that the Warsaw Ghetto uprising began, okay, and one to mourn the tragedies, and that would be Tisha B'Av. So early on, Tisha B'Av was proposed as a possible day for the creation of Yom HaShoah. You know, ultimately, they decided to go with Yom HaShoah Umered HaGetto to combine the 2 days. And on September 1st, 1951, the Knesset passed a resolution establishing the 27th of Nisan. So initially, they wanted to do it on the day when the ghetto uprising began, but that would not work because that's Erev Pesach. Okay, you have stories of these great Gedolim like Rav Menachem Zemba running around during the uprising, trying to find matzos and make a seder. I mean, it's unbelievable. But so eventually they made a compromise and merged the 2 days to both commemorate the tragedy and mourning, but also the triumph. You know, here you are in the state of Israel. You have the new Jew, the Zionist, right? So of course you have to commemorate the valor and the heroism of the ghetto uprising as well. And that's why initially it was called Yom HaShoah, and it still is today. I mean, you know, people don't, they leave off Umered HaGetot, but it was formally established in September of 1951 as Yom HaShoah Umered HaGetot. They couldn't do it Erev Pesach, you know, for reasons that are obvious. So they decided the 27th of Nisan, which also there were many in the religious community that were opposed to, because the entire month of Nisan has a festive quality. We don't say Tachanun the entire month of Nisan, of course. It is a festive quality as we celebrate Pesach. So in any case, you can never win, but that's what the Knesset decided. And in an attempt to reach a compromise between the secular government and the religious community, and in hopes of appeasing some of the opposition that we just saw, some of the opposing rabbis. So the chief rabbinate established Asara B'Tevet, the fast of the 10th of Tevet, as a Yom HaKadish HaKlali, which we'll return to in a few moments. But I just want to go back to this idea of Tisha B'Av as our national day of mourning. You can understand this opposition because, as you all know, on Tisha B'Av, we don't only mourn the destructions of the first and second temples, the destruction of Yerushalayim, but we mourn all sorts of national tragedies and calamities that occurred throughout Jewish history. So that objection does make sense. And as you all know, on Tisha B'Av morning, we have keynote that discuss not only the destruction of Jerusalem and the first and second temples, but keynote that talk about the Crusades, as we just saw, and talk about the burning of the Talmud in Paris in the 13th century, and talk about the Crusades and other massacres throughout Jewish history. And in our contemporary times, we have keynote that were composed for the Holocaust. There are about a handful of keynote. And the question is, which one does the shul say, right? This keynote book has this one, and this one has this one. You know, a lot of great Gedolim composed keynote for the Shoah, and some shuls say a few of them. Many or most shuls, I would say at least one. And that even in recent years, they've composed the kina for the disengagement, the gerush, or the hitnatkut from Gush Katif. So Tisha B'Av is this day when we mourn tragedies throughout Jewish history. And Tisha B'Av is a day that is set aside for mourning in our sources, in Chazal. Okay, if you take a look here at source number 4, the Gemara in Masechet Tanit, here on Daf Chavtet, discusses the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Tanit, which lists 5 tragic events that took place on Tisha B'Av. Among them, the spies returned with their awful report that sent the Jewish people into hysterics. And B'Tisha B'Av nigzar alavoteinu shel yikansu la'aretz. It was decreed on Tisha B'Av that the Jewish people would not enter into the land of Israel. Instead, they would have to wander for 40 years in the desert. The entire generation would have to die out. Right? And the Gemara continues and discusses that and says, yeah, look where I've underlined the top of page 2. Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem bechitem bechia shel chinam, you've cried a cry for naught, for nothing. Vani koveh lachem bechia ledorot. I will establish this day as a day of crying and weeping for generations. So you see that indeed Tisha B'Av was established, was set aside as a day for mourning for generations. And then the Gemara continues and asks, well, how do we know that the first temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? And it brings up psukim that describe how the pasuk from Sefer Melachim and from Yirmiyahu and gives a count how we know that the first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Okay. And then where I've underlined, the Gemara asks, but how do we know that the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av? Ubashnia minalan. Right, from where do we see that? So it's interesting. If you unpack the question, you could ask, okay, it's one thing for the first temple to be destroyed on a certain date, and we have, you know, evidence, the psukim describe this, the verses describe this, but it's uncanny that the second temple would be destroyed on the very same day. I mean, is that just a coincidence? Right? How could it be that the second temple was destroyed on the very same day, centuries later? How is that possible? That's what the Gemara is asking here. And interestingly, you know, sometimes when the Gemara asks a question, Minalan, we're asking, well, is there a scriptural source? Do we have evidence from a verse, from a pasuk? Here, the Gemara doesn't bring a verse. There's no pasuk which says that the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. Instead, the answer of the Gemara is, it could not have happened on any other day. It's not coincidence. No. Ditanya, the Gemara brings a brayta which says, Migalgalin zchut liyom zakai v'chova liyom chayav. How would you translate that? We roll out reward on a good day, on a day of merit, and obligation or punishment, chova liyom chayav, on a day of obligation, a day of punishment. Right? Meaning, we don't need a scriptural source. We don't need a pasuk to prove that the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. It could not have happened on any other day. And if you take a look here at source number 5, the day itself is referred to as a moed, an appointed time. There's a double entendre there. Some explain we don't say tachanun and other things on Tisha B'Av because it's called a moed. Moed is an appointed time. It could be understood to be a festival. And one day we know that Tisha B'Av, along with the other fasts that are connected to the destruction of the temple, will be transformed into festivals. That's the prophecy of Zechariah Perek Chet, that our fasts will be transformed into feasts. It's a Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Chet. Right? So there in Eicha, Perek Aleph Pasuk Tet Vav, it says, Sila Kol Abirai, Adonai Bekir Bi, Kara Alai Moed. Kara Alai Moed. What does that mean? Kara Alai Moed. Hashem proclaimed a moed, an appointed time, lishpor bachurai, to crush my young men. Okay. Gad darach Adonai lebtulat bat Yehuda. Hashem has, like a wine press, he's squeezed the daughters of Yehuda. Like in a gat, it's like a press. But here, kara alai moed, it suggests that Hashem has, again, established this day as a day of punishment. And you find in many sources, here in the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet, source number 7, it refers to Tisha B'Av and says there, v'huchpulu bo tzarot, right? Many things, multiple things happened. Multiple tragedies happen on Tisha B'Av. Okay. In source number 6, the Gemara in Masechet Tanit, it cites the Mishnah, which says that when the month of Av enters, we reduce our simcha. And there on Daf Chavtet, the Gemara says that, yeah, we reduce our simcha. Therefore, if a Jew has a dispute, a court date, okay, he's in dispute with a Gentile, he has a court case with a Gentile, Bar Yisrael, di'itle dina, v'hadei nachri, lishtamet minei ba'av, he should push it off. Don't have that court date. Right? See if they could change it in the docket, the judge's docket, and push off the court date for another time, because Av is diraya mazle, has bad luck. The entire month is considered to have bad luck. It's born under a bad sign. Again, this day is established as a day of punishment. And the Rambam in Hilchot Taniot, in the fifth chapter there, in source number 8, says, yeah, he's discussing all the awful things that happened on Tisha B'Av, and says, Ubo bayom hamuchan lepuranut. He just says, as an aside, oh, and by the way, on that day, which is muchan lepuranut, set aside for punishment, yeah, Turnus Rufus, he plowed the Temple Mount, okay? So the Rambam, just as an aside, recognizes that this day has been established as a day of punishment and a day of mourning. And if you take a look at source number 9, this is a pasuk from the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, the book of Jeremiah. And there too, the Navi suggests that this time is a time of tragedy, a time when our enemies have the upper hand. Our enemies, our pursuers will be able to get us, so to speak. Our pursuers will have the upper hand, and we'll be able to exact punishment. This is Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay. Pered limud midbar, ba'avat nafsha, shafar ruach ta'anata, mi yeshivena. And this is really the end of the Pasuk. The latter half of the Pasuk is what is of interest to us. Kol mevaksheha lo yafu bechodsha yimtzaunha. Okay, all those who pursue her, all those who chase after her, all those who seek her will not become tired, will not become weary. Instead, they will be able to find her in her month. In her month, they will find her. Bechodsha yimtzaunha. Well, what month are we talking about? What time is this? What month? Well, it's that month that Chazal say is a month of very bad luck. Diraya Mazle, that month of Av, as the Abravanel here in his Perush, in his comments there, understands it. It's a reference to Tisha B'Av. And here in source number 10, this is a fascinating passage from the Abravanel's comments there to the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, where he records that it wasn't just the destructions of the first and second temple that took place on Tisha B'Av, but he records tragedies and calamities throughout Jewish history, and he lists them. Take a look at the top of page 3, where I've underlined. He writes, "Vazman amuchan letzarotav hu hachodesh hakavua lera'oto chodesh av ve'alav amar bechodshayim tzaunha." That time that is prepared, that is set for all sorts of bad things. This is the month that is established for wickedness. That is the month of Av. And that is the intent, that is the kavanah of that pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we just read, Bechodsha yimtzahu, yimtzaunha, her enemies will find her, will grasp her in that month. Okay, it's the month of Av. Halot tireh, have we not seen, shebaoto achodesh, that during that month, nigzera gzera al dor hamidbar, shesham yamutu? Now first he's listing the tragedies that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Don't we find that in that month, the generation of the Midbar, the generation of the wilderness, they had to die in the wilderness, right? Following the sin of the spies. V'lel Tisha B'Av haya bo bayom necharav bayit rishon, bo bayom necharav bayit sheni, the destruction of the first and second temple, bo bayom, bo bayom necharav Alexandria, kahal gadol me'ayudim, shaya shama, and the destruction of Alexandria in Egypt, which was a very large Jewish community. Time doesn't allow us to get into it, but fascinating, fascinating story of the community in Alexandria. But that also was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Bo Bayom. Bo Bayom Nasa Geirush Ikatze Haaretz, Nikra Anglia Tira. It's when the according to the Abravanel, you'd have to fact check it with historians, but the expulsion of the Jews of England took place, or the initial decree was decreed on Tisha B'Av. And the expulsion from France, the Chama Odme Hashmadot Agrushim Hayu B'Chodesh Ahul Yisrael, many other decrees and destructions and expulsions took place in this month, okay, throughout Jewish history. Umao Sif Od LeDavar, and what can I add? What can I add to this? Vihine Kishagazar Melech Sfarad Gerush Al Kol Yehudim Asher B'Chol Medinot Malchuto Shiatzu Kimishalosh Chodeshim Nishlam V'Haya Yom Hayitziat Tisha B'Av. This is incredible. He goes on to say, what can I add? In our own time, right now, the Abravanel, as we know, lived during the expulsion from Spain, lived during the Spanish expulsion. He was not only a leader of the Jewish people and a great scholar, but he was also an intermediary. He was also a liaison between the Jewish community and the monarchy. And he tried to intercede and intervene and tried to stay the expulsion. And historians will debate whether it was on exactly Tisha B'Av or around Tisha B'Av, the last possible day that the Jews could leave. You know, it coincided with the day that Columbus would set sail, okay, for the New World. And we know there were many Jews, many conversos and Jews that were on his ships. Many Jews at the time were navigators and map makers. Very fascinating history. It's possible that Christopher Columbus, whose family was Cologne and had come initially from Spain before they had moved to Italy. It's very possible that he himself was Jewish, descendant of Jews. But in any case, the Abravanel saying that the last day, they'd give them 3 months, and the last day to get out was on Tisha B'Av. And he writes that it's not possible that the king knew that Tisha B'Av was our national day of mourning when all these tragedies throughout Jewish history have taken place. But it's no coincidence, he said. It's as if he was guided from heaven. Ki'ilu min ha-shamayim hidrichuhu. It was as if there was a heavenly hand that guided the king and caused it that Tisha B'Av was the last day that the Jews had before they had to leave Spain. Okay, and you can add on to this list seminal events throughout world history and Jewish history, things that, of course, affected the Jews. The outbreak of World War I takes place on Tisha B'Av. Seminal events and decisions with regards to World War II and the Holocaust take place. The Final Solution take place on Tisha B'Av, unbeknownst to the Germans. Initially, God forbid, equating the state of Israel with Nazi Germany, Chas v'Shalom, Havdil, but initially, they just looked at the secular date, but the disengagement was planned for Tisha B'Av. They didn't consider the Hebrew date. They just picked some random date in August, you know, and then they looked at the Hebrew date, I guess, and said, oops, now that's not a good look. They were concerned about the optics of having the disengagement take place on Tisha B'Av. So that was subsequently moved. But you could add to this list. So Tisha B'Av is a day historically where you know, it doesn't matter if scholars will debate whether this event took place exactly on the 9th of Av or maybe a little before, a little after, around Av. The Navi refers to this month that they're going to pursue her. Her pursuers are going to find her. Okay, her pursuers are not going to tire. They're not going to weary. They're not going to get tired. They're going to pursue. They're going to find her on this month or during this month. So this is a time when historically many tragedies took place. And even if they did not take place on Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is the day which we mourn all national tragedies and calamities throughout Jewish history. So it's easy to understand the opposition to the creation of a Yom HaShoah, However, there is evidence that there were other days when Jewish communities established fasts following some tragic event, following some pogrom, some massacre. There were days when they established fasts and memorial days, if you will, and days of mourning. And there's a fascinating siman in the Shulchan Aruch at the end of the Laws of Fasts, siman Tav Kuf Pei, here in source number 11, where the Shulchan Aruch lists days where tragic events happened to the Jewish people, and therefore it's appropriate to fast on those days. On the first of Nisan, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, it was the day that the children of Aharon, Nadav, and Avihu died during the consecration of the Mishkan on the eighth day, right? The Yom HaShmini. And on the 10th of that month, the 10th of Nisan, that's when Miriam died. Even though Nisan is this festive month, as we mentioned, you find that there historically were fast days. The death of Yehoshua ben Nun and others. You can take a look at this list. You can give an entire shiur just on this siman of the Shulchan Aruch alone. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. And there are different traditions as to these dates. You find, passages and things in the Cairo Geniza fragments, which will have different dates. But in any case, the fascinating siman of the Shulchan Aruch. And in his commentary there, the Magen Avraham of Avram Gombiner in source number 12, who survived the Chmelnytsky massacres, okay, and much of his family was decimated during the Chmelnytsky massacres. He lived in Poland in the 17th century. Okay, the Magen Avraham, he first, where I've underlined, he adds to this list of fasts. Okay, he writes, where I've underlined, Katava Tanya, this is not the Bala Tanya, this is an earlier Tanya, this is not the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, this is a different Tanya. Katava Tam Biyom HaShishi Parshat Chukat, on the Friday of Parshat Chukat, Nahagu Yechidim Litanot, Boto Hayom, Yechidim, unique individuals, not everyone, maybe the rabbis would fast on the Friday of Parshat Chukat. Shaboto Ayom, on that day, Nisrfu Chaf Kronot Meleim Sfarim B'Tzarfat. On that day, 20 wagon loads of Jewish books were burned in France. This is a reference to the burning of the Talmud in France in 1242, the burning of the Talmud in Paris following the disputations. We've spoken about that in the past here. We're almost out of time, so I'm not going to go into detail, but that was a major blow for French Jewry. Of course, it was not just the Talmud that was burned, many other Jewish books. In addition, now you know this is before the printing press, so you can imagine how devastating that was to have all of the, their literature. And, for years, they didn't have access to the Talmud and other major important Jewish works. This is not the only time and place, unfortunately, that Jewish books were burned. When I've been to Rome, I was visited the site where later, centuries later, Jewish books were burned in Rome, and Jewish books were burned, of course, in Germany. I've visited the university there in Berlin when they burned all. It wasn't just Jewish books, but the Jewish books were targeted there. But at the University of Berlin, there's a site there where you can see where the books were burned. And then where I've underlined next, Magen Avraham, he mentions a tragedy that he himself lived through. V'gam b'shnat tach, he's referring to Gzerot Tach v'tat. Right, 1648, the Chmelnytsky massacres. Nechrevu shnei kilot gedolot, two major Jewish communities were destroyed. Be'oto ayom, on that day, kimo shekatav b'slichot shechiber bal hasifte kohen, Rav Shabtai Kohen, he wrote a kina to commemorate the Chmelnytsky massacres. Gam no'agin litanot, asiri b'sivan, or esrim b'sivan, sorry, esrim b'sivan, chav b'sivan, v'chol machut polin. I think, as you mentioned, the 20th of Sivan is also, Esrim b'Sivan is also mourned, okay? I mean, the Chmelnytsky massacres, estimates of up to 100,000 Jews, major, major calamity. And now, modern historians say, no, the number was more like 40,000 or 50,000, but that's, okay, excuse me, But in any case, we don't know. Estimates of up to 100,000 Jews. Certainly, it was a major blow for Polish Jewry. But what's interesting here, in the Shari Tshuva, on that very same siman here in source number 13, also discusses these fast days that were instituted following these tragedies. So you see that while, yes, Tisha B'Av is the day when we recite keynote and mourn national tragedies and calamities that took place throughout Jewish history, but there were communities that indeed established days of fasting and mourning in addition to Tisha B'Av, despite what that kina Mi Yitein Roshi Mayim says. And so here in source number 14, this is Rav Herzog's tshuva, where he addresses this concern and he addresses the opposition of Rav Velvel, the Griz, Soloveitchik, and others to the establishment of Yom HaShoah. And he says, look, you have other Jewish communities throughout Jewish history that did indeed establish days of mourning and days of fasting. But first, he has a novel interpretation of that kina that we began with. Take a look at source number 14. He writes, he asks the question, if indeed the rabbis of our generation have the authority to establish such days or a day in memory of the Shoah. And take a look where I've underlined next. He writes, L'dati ein ha-perush kach. He has a difference of interpretation with how the Griz understood this kina. Now, when did the first crusades of 1096 take place? When did the communities of Speyer and Worms and Mainz, Kilot Shum, when were they destroyed? I'm sorry? These are Sivan, Iyar, right? And in that kina, it makes a reference to Shavuot, how the Torah was being burned on Shavuot, and these Torah scholars were being burned on Shavuot. And on the day when we received the Torah along with its scholars were being burned. And the way, and by the way, that's, you know that the custom is that between Pesach and Shavuot, even on days when we typically would not say Av HaRachamim on Shabbat, right? If it's Shabbat Mevorachim, or days when you typically wouldn't say Av HaRachamim, it's a prayer composed for the mourners, for those who died Al Kiddush Hashem. We do say it. We indeed do say it during Sirat HaOmer, this period between Pesach and Shavuot. Why? Because that's when the first Crusades took place, and this Av HaRachamim prayer was composed for those martyrs who died Al Kiddush Hashem during the Crusades. And so it's very fitting we say it. And even though typically we wouldn't say Av HaRachamim, because maybe the Shabbat has a festive character to it because it's Shabbos Mevorachim, we still say it because that's when it took place. In fact, as Professor Daniel Sperber has shown, has done extensive research, some of the customs of Sfirat HaOmer, we attribute the customs of mourning of Sfirat HaOmer to the students of Rabbi Akiva, right, who died between Pesach and Shavuot. But a lot of the customs he shows, Professor Sperber shows, actually come later, and they are a response to the Crusades and other pogroms, other things that happened later. In any case, this is the way Rav Herzog interprets that kina. He says, what does it mean we can't add? He understood the kina to mean we cannot add a day of mourning because it's Shavuot. That's what the kina is talking about. His ledati ein haperush kein, ein haperush kach. According to my opinion, you're misreading this kina. Lefi ze midaber ha-mekonen al strefat ha-Torah v'hara v'hereg lomdea dafka b'yom ha-Shavuot, b'yom shenitna bo Torah. Who omer ho'il v'ein lehosif moed shever v'taveira. Says, When it says we cannot add, behold, we cannot add another day, it doesn't mean another day in addition to Tisha B'Av. It means we cannot add a day of mourning on Shavuot when this tragedy took place. This kina, which mourns how the Torah was burned together with its scholars. That's what it means we can't add. We cannot mourn on Shavuot. And instead, therefore, we're going to mourn when? On Tisha B'Av. Klomar, ein lehosif lemoed chag ha-Shavuot hesped bechi al ha-shever v'taveri u'lakdim. Hainu likbo yom lifnei yom tov, So Chazal say, we don't make something before we push it off. But we can't have it on Shavuot. That's the intent. And then, where I've underlined next is, Be'emet, halo yadanu shekavu yom latzom ulekonein bechaf sivan, shechazru vekavu abigzeirat tach vetat. He says, we have other days of mourning, as the Magen Avraham and the Shari Tshuva explain, following the Chmelnytsky massacres and other calamities throughout Jewish history, where Jewish communities did indeed establish a day of mourning and fasting. Now, Moshe would seem to anticipate that particular point in his tshuva, back at source number 3, where he too acknowledges, yes, okay, there were days where historically there was a day of mourning established by communities in Poland following the Chmelnytsky massacres. But he says that's different. Those were limited to certain communities. Those were regional tragedies and calamities, not national tragedies and calamities. And Moshe makes a distinction between something that took place in a community and therefore that community established a day of mourning, as opposed to a national tragedy, namely the Shoah, right, which must be observed on Tisha B'Av. That's how Rav Moshe counters that argument of Rav Herzog. Because Rav Herzog said, no, there's ample evidence of Jewish communities creating days of fasting and mourning following some tragedy. So Rav Moshe explains, no, those were limited to let's call them regional tragedies, where a certain community mourned, and they established it as a day of mourning in that community. But you can't establish a national day of mourning. That has to be observed on Tisha B'Av. So Rav Moshe is responding to that argument here in source number 3. We're out of time, but I just I put an important tshuva here in source number 15 of the Sri De'esh. The Sri De'esh, of course, himself was a survivor and was asked about establishing, again, a new day of mourning on the Jewish calendar, the establishment of Yom HaShoah, and he felt it was very appropriate. He felt that, yes, we have an obligation to give this day its due, so to speak, and to create a Yom HaShoah. So he felt very, very much in favor of the establishment of Yom HaShoah. So as I said, in an attempt to reach a compromise between the secular government, who wanted to establish Yom HaShoah to coincide with the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto, and these poskim and rabbis and leading authorities who were against the establishment of a Yom HaShoah bichlal, Rav Herzog and together with other leading poskim established Asara B'Tevet, the fast of the 10th of Tevet, as this Yom HaKadish HaKlali. A day, again, for the recital of Kaddish for those Kiddoshim who we don't know when their Yeretzayit is. We don't know when they died. Maybe they have no one to say Kaddish for them. So we, Klal Yisrael, we say Kaddish for them on that day. And as we'll see, they decided that the day should be observed like a Yeretzayit, with lighting of a Yeretzayit candle and the recitation of Kel Malei Rachamim, the study of Mishnayot. Now, by the way, just Derech Agav, incidentally, choosing a day to recite Kaddish, choosing a day to observe like a Yeretzayit when the exact date of death is unknown is not without precedent. The Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim, citing the Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria, rules that one who does not know the anniversary of his parents' death, his father's death, he writes there, may choose a day on the Jewish calendar to observe the Yeretzayit. We know throughout Jewish history, Nebuch, there were many, many tragedies that took place, whether it was pogroms, whether it was just people being out of touch and not knowing exactly the date of death, not knowing exactly when to observe the Yeretzayit. So there is precedent to establish a day to say Kaddish and say, okay, on this day, I'm going to observe this day as the Yeretzayit for my parent. So in a similar vein, Rav Herzog said, that's what we should do for the Kedoshim of the Holocaust on Asara B'Tevet. And it would seem that Asara B'Tevet, you know, why did they choose Asara B'Tevet as a Yom HaKadish HaKlali? It was sort of a pshara, sort of a compromise where, you know, the rabbinate chose to imbue the day with a religious character and to quiet the voices of those opposed the creation of a new memorial day. Right? It's not such a new day. Those poskim that were saying, we have no authority to create a new day of mourning, or all of our national tragedies and calamities must be observed on Tisha B'Av. That is our national day of mourning. Okay, so, you know, Asar B'Tevet is already established, and now we're just going to add another hue, another character, an additional identity. We're going to imbue it with some additional meaning. And if you take a look, and we'll end with this, source number 16 at the bottom, this is from the Rabbanut HaRashid. This is what they publicized in Tuf Shin Tet Zayin. Yom Ha'asiri B'Tevet Nigba Al Yadenu B'Zmanenu L'Sha V'Ledorot. The 10th of Tevet has been established through our hand in our day for now and for generations. L'Yom HaShana L'Kilot HaKodesh, for an annual day for all those holy communities, Anashim Nashim V'Taf, men, women, children, Shenisfu B'Hamonehem B'Chzariyut, those who were murdered by the cruel hands of the Nazis, the Nazi monster in Europe. They went up in ash, in smoke. Shebahem alu al hamoked, kisalehem ve'alyom pekudatam. That's kind of flowery language, that they were covered over, they and their day of remembrance, meaning we don't even know Nebuch, we don't even know when these people died, we don't even know when their Yeretzayt is. Le'ela milyonei ha'chalalim, those millions of martyrs, she'ein smuchim l'kviyat yom motam, we don't know, again, when the anniversary of the date of their death is. Kadosh yom zeh l'zichram l'ilui nishmotehem ha'zakot v'torot. So we're going to establish this day is sacred. This day is set aside for the memory of those pure souls. Dino shel yom ze yom asiri betevet libnehem ulikrovehem ki dino shel yom hamita lamirat kadish. And then they go into the details of what their proclamation exactly was. It's going to be day of reciting kadish, lilmod mishnayot, studying mishnah, which traditionally is done on a yuritzite, ulahadlik ner neshama, lighting of the yuritzite candle. And every Jew, in other words, even if you don't have a family member who was killed in the Holocaust, every Jew, kadosh hayom ze lezecher revot batei haavot u'mishpachot shenishmedu kalil lelo hishir saridu palit. For every Jew, basher husham, this day is designated as a day of mourning for all those who did not leave a remnant. Lo hishir saridu palit. The goalam hu beit Yisrael kulo. It's appropriate that everyone on the 10th of Tevet light a Yuritzite candle in their memory. Again, even if you didn't have a family that died in the Holocaust, it's a day to mourn all of those who left no family. Even those who don't have family in the Holocaust should say Kaddish. But who should say Kaddish? Ideally, someone whose parents are no longer living. I would add, if you have parents that are among the living, you can ask them permission to say Kaddish. And then, skipping, Acharei Kriyat HaTorah B'Tfilat Shacharit Yemer B'chol Batei Knesiot B'Batei Midrashot Tfilah HaAzkara HaMiyuchedet Shenercha Al Yideinu B'Shat HaShoah. And then they continue and end that following the reading of the Torah, at Shacharit, we take out the Torah, of course, on Asar B'Tevet. So following the reading of the Torah, they should recite the special Kel Mali Rachamim for those Kedoshim who died in the Holocaust. Now, unfortunately, the 10th of Tevet was not universally adopted. And even today, it's primarily observed in the religious Zionist community, but even still, I don't know if every religious Zionist synagogue observes it, certainly not in the full sense that the chief rabbinate had initially intended. But in recent years, the current chief rabbi, David Lau, has encouraged the broader public to observe the 10th of Tevet as Yom HaKadish HaKlali. But still, unfortunately, the day has yet to gain a wider acceptance. But I think it's certainly really very appropriate on Asar B'Tevet, that each and every one of us should do something to remember those Kedoshim who unfortunately have no one to say Kaddish for them, have no one to mourn them, whether it's by lighting a Yahrzeit candle, whether it's by saying Kaddish. That's what Rav Herzog and the Chief Rabbi had intended. Okay, have a wonderful day, a good week. We'll see you all Mirtz Hashem next Wednesday.